Yeah, how's everybody doing tonight? Pretty good. All right, can you guys hear me? Cool. All right, so I want to jump right into my message today. And I want to answer just one question. And this one question is this: how can we be thankful to a God through anything, to our God, through anything and everything that we encounter in this life? In other words, how can we live a life that continues to praise God? And this is really important because we face so many trials throughout our life, you know. And one thing I ask myself is, God, how can I continue to be thankful to you in a world like this? So let's turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Sorry about that. I'm in the wrong spot. All right, so before we dig into some scripture, I want to just go through a little bit of history about the first Thanksgiving. So, and this might be things you guys probably never heard of, and maybe you have, I don't know. I know in high school and in middle school, I tend not to pay too much attention in class, and so maybe this might be new for some of you guys, I'm not too sure, but just a couple facts here. In 1620, the journey from England to the New World was more than 3,000 miles, and came with a cycle of storms and conflict and disease. Most of the colonists that remained on the Mayflower suffered from outbreaks of contagious disease, as I just said, and the actual trip was 66 days along the Atlantic Ocean. The pilgrims survived through harsh and winter storms, and conditions were so bad that most of the passengers couldn't even stand up by the time they made it to their destination. After they made it to their first destination, many had died during the first winter. However, for the first Thanksgiving, they ended up thanking God for 3 days, three days spending time in prayer. And these settlers, they invited their Native American friends to do this. So just a little bit of information. So, and I don't know if you guys are like me, that when somebody is telling you a bunch of information at once, your mind kind of slowly drifts away and you start thinking about random things. Like some of you guys was probably thinking, man, what kind of pie is they serving downstairs? Or something like that. Or maybe, you know, maybe the opposite. Either way, the point I'm trying to make is that these pilgrims, they had a journey ahead of them. They had a journey to go to the New World, a journey to seek religious freedom. But this journey came with a lot of stuff. It came with sickness, disease, conflict. Somebody died on their way there. Somebody was born. And wow, we can relate to this in our own lives, can we? All of us that have trusted Christ, we begin this journey with Jesus and probably didn't expect the harsh conditions of failure, temptation, sadness, agony, loss, sickness, and the list can go on and on. But somehow, from time to time, we end up thanking God. Thanking God for our lives, thanking God that we're still here. All right, so that's, if you're at Psalm 103, let's go there. And what I like about this psalm is that, unlike many psalms of David, we don't really know the circumstance of his life. Now, we can give some historical background to it, but we don't really know what's exactly going on in his life right now. And I like that because I don't know what's going on in you guys' life right now. Everybody's here going through something different. Everybody's here from different backgrounds, at different stages of their life. But I like what David says in verse 1, and I'm just going to read it through. And I'm only going to read the first 5 verses. So verse 1 says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfy your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. David starts off this psalm praising God. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And in other words, what he's trying to say is, everything that is in me, my whole living being, I'm praising God. The first thing David does in this song is acknowledge who God is and that he is a holy God. He is set apart from any other God. And man, how often do we do this? I know in my own life, every time I pray, I seem to go straight for God. I need this. I need that. Can you pray for this person? How often do I acknowledge who God is and that he is still working in my life? David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, I didn't try to read aloud to try to wake some of you up or anything. But imagine David singing this song. He's singing it with all his heart. He's singing it with all his emotion. Everything that is in him, he is praising God. This is the first thing that he does in this song. All right, so let's go to verse 2. And I like the rest of these verses because David remembers God's benefits. And this is something we oftentimes in our life tend to not do. And this is what I want to focus on for the rest of this message for the most part. And that is remembering God's benefits, remembering what God has already have done in our life. All right, you guys still with me? All right, so the very first benefit David mentions is God's forgiveness of our iniquities. Now, David says, who pardons, so he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." So the first thing David recognizes, or the first thing David mentions as a benefit, is God's forgiveness. And this is really important because what does man need more than God's forgiveness? You think about the world and you think about yourself. Think about all the evil intentions and actions and thoughts that you ever did. And the Lord Jesus has chosen to remember your sins no more. God's forgiveness. David remembered God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And we just sung a song talking about faithfulness. But God is the one who is faithful. We're not faithful at all, right? But God continues to work in us. And David remembers that God heals all sin. Not just the sins you think is bad. Not just the sin we see in others, but all sin. So that's an important benefit that David remembers here. Now, I just want to think about some benefits we have as Christians, right? And the first one I thought about while preparing for this message was that we are children of God. I want you guys to think about that. You are a child of God. No matter who you are, no matter what you've been through, if you are in Christ, you are a child of God. One time I was watching this YouTube video, and there was this Christian artist who does music, and he's been doing music for probably 16 years, I want to say. And they had this panel on the stage, kind of like this, and a young person got up, probably 16 years old, maybe my age, I'm not sure. But he asked him one question. He said, "I want to get into music, but I need some advice as a Christian trying to make it into the music industry." And I love what this guy said. He said, my first thing I would tell you for advice is that get rid of any idea of trying to make it in this world. Get rid of it. If you are in Christ, you already made it. Brother and sister, if you are in Christ, you've already made it. Don't look towards this world for anything. John chapter 1, our brother Jeff read this Sunday. John chapter 1, verse 12, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You are in Christ. The Spirit of God dwells within you. Never forget that. What can we benefit from this world? What can this world really offer us that's better than a relationship with the God who created us? Never forget that. All right, let's go to verse 3. verse 3 to 4. So he says, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with the loving kindness and compassion. Now, in this life, we know that we have suffering. We know that we have pain. But only in Christ is it worth it, isn't it? So in our mortal bodies, we fall short, and there is a battle every day between the flesh and the spirit. But the difference is that we don't have to become slaves to sin. We don't have to let sin reign in our lives. Christ gave us the ability to die to ourselves, and Christ has healed us, not in the sense of a physical healing, but in the inside. We were cursed with sin. We cursed with these issues of the world, but it says that God heals us. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself, talking about Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Talking about us, brothers and sisters, we are healed from Jesus Christ's stripes. We don't have to let sin reign in our lives. Let's look at verse 4 again. It says, who redeems your life from the pit and who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Just think about where you would be without Christ, without Jesus Christ. Think about the path of destruction you were on. Or maybe think about how God protected you and rescued you from troubled situations. For everyone who is in Christ, God rescued us. And it wasn't something we did, was it? It was something that God did. God stepped into our lives and rescued us. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. Let us not forget how lost we were, how depraved we were, and how hopeless we were without Jesus Christ coming into our lives and saving us. Meditate on how God saved you from a life of destruction, or how he is saving you. He's still working in us. We should be thankful that God redeems us. Thankful that God redeems us. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, who satisfy your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Some of you guys may know that I did ministry this year, or this past summer in Milwaukee. But there's a bigger backstory to that. Last year was my freshman year at college, and if I'm being honest, I was going through a hard time spiritually. However, I was attending this campus crusade called Crew, and it's been around for a while. Some of you guys might have heard of it. And this guy, he texted me, and he wanted to meet with me. He was on staff with Crew, and he told me he wanted to consider me being a leader one day, serving on campus. And he suggested that I go on a missions trip. And they had these missions trips in Milwaukee, Detroit, Chicago, international. I mean, they have a bunch of them. So as he's going through these missions trips, he mentions Milwaukee. And I thought, man, if I go on the missions trip, I'm doing the one in Milwaukee. I have no reason to go somewhere else when this city is really hurting, you know. But I was just thinking that's if I go on the missions trip. To me, myself, I was thinking, no way I'm ready to do that. You know, I felt that I was unworthy. I didn't feel like it was my time. I felt like I needed another year just to focus on me and to do my own thing. Most of you know I like bike riding. So for me, the summer looks like coffee, bike riding, and work. You know, nothing more. But I decided to go back home, and I took a week off from meeting with friends and hanging out. And after my classes, I decided just to pray about it every night. And one night, I prayed about it. And sometimes we have those moments where God speaks to us, and it's not as clear, or maybe it's really clear, and we say, wow, man, God really spoke to me. And I don't know what it was, and it had to be the Holy Spirit, but God really spoke to me one night. And he said, you have to do this. This is part of my plan for you. And I can't explain it, but it was something that was so strong that I knew at that moment, I either disobeyed God or I obeyed him. And man, I look back and I'm so thankful I did that missions trip. And why? Because God reminded me of the benefits that I have in him. You know, when you're doing ministry, and some other people can probably tell you this, you're constantly focusing on things above. You're not focused on this world. Every time you share the gospel with somebody, it reminds you how you need the gospel. And that's what it did for me. God really renewed me since then. And it's a short, I know it just happened last summer, but I see the difference God made in my life. So God renews us, and God, he renews you every day. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. God is renewing you day by day. Never forget that. God is renewing you. Even when it don't seem like it's working in your life, he's constantly tugging at your heart. And we should be thankful that God renews us. He doesn't have to. He could have just saved us. And we don't have to have the Holy Spirit, but we do. God gave us his Spirit. So if you remember earlier in my message, I asked a question. And that question was, how can we be thankful to God through anything and everything we encounter in his life? Or in other words, how can I live a life that continues to praise God in every situation, no matter what? And now that our perspective has hopefully changed, let's go to Philippians 4. And then I'm going to be starting in verse 6 through 7. Verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, some versions say comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't have any more notes here, but one thing I do want to say is that I like how this verse is not for a particular Christian. I like how this verse is not for this person who lives here or who lives there, or who has this much money or who has that much money, who deals with this, who deals with that. It says, be anxious for nothing. Imagine a life without being anxious. Imagine a life continually thanking God, continually praising God. See, God does not change, even though our circumstances changes. God does not change. And that's how we can live a life praising God, because our circumstances change all the time. But God is constantly working in us. And it says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I don't know what everybody's dealing with today. But ask yourself, what's keeping you from praising God every day? Every day. Not just when something goes wrong, not just when you feel like it, but when you get up in the morning and you think about your day, you think about going to work, you think about going to school, you think about your family, what's keeping you from praising God? I like how Jesus said it in John 14. He was talking to the disciples. And what's interesting is that he's telling the disciples this while he's going to the cross. And he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world give, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And man, I just love that verse, because that's a verse I think about all the time. He said, not as the world gives, do I give to you. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, be thankful, because God, he doesn't change us, and meditate on his benefits. If you need to, go back to this Psalm 103. Write down what God has done in your life and think about how he has saved you. Think about where you could be. And that's the way I think about it. I think, man, God has brought me to this point. I can praise him for that. I don't have to praise him for anything else. I could praise him for saving me. I could praise him for who he is. So this is some things to think about. Now, I feel like I rushed through that pretty fast, so I don't know how much time I have, but I just want to say thank you guys for coming out. Hope you guys have a nice Thanksgiving, and yeah, praise God. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much that you gave me the opportunity to speak tonight. Dear Lord, I am not worthy to do these things without your spirit working inside me and without you saving me, God. And I just want to give you the praise for that. And Lord, I want to encourage everybody here to praise God, not to always look at what this world can offer them, not to always look at what they don't have, what do they need, but to think about who you are. And a benefit that I didn't mention is that we're going to spend eternity with you. We don't have to think about this life in the sense of it's going to be forever, because your presence is going to be forever with us, God. And I pray for anybody that's listening or that's here tonight that's listening, and they probably don't understand your benefits. They probably never heard of any of these things. God, I pray that they will recognize that this world is a sinful world, and we all have fallen short. Romans 3:23 says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. And Lord, I think about how you came and saved us, and how the Bible says that you died for the world to those who receive you, God. So I ask that person that's lost, they will come to the light. They will realize that you died for their sins, God. You step in this world, and on the cross you said, it is finished, God. And today they can start praising you for salvation. Lord, I thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.